This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Have I told you lately that I love you? No, but why did you tell me to start with the song? What is this thing we do? You said we haven't done that in a while.
We sing on this podcast, and Justin's still with us, so I think that means he's voting with the majority. He's up for singing as well.
Yeah.
But there's no barbershop trios. We'd be a directory basement trio, right? The Bee Gees are a trio.
Join our podcast. Hey, listener, are you still here? Probably not.
How deep is your love? How deep is your love? Bee Gees. I really need to learn. Because we're living in a world of fools.
I actually don't know that.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. You just know Jimmy Fallon, Bee Gees? Is that?
I know. Staying Alive.
Staying Alive. Okay.
I know.
Let's do Staying Alive. Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. I don't have time to talk.
But no. No.
Staying Alive.
I like their Billy Goat falsetto.
What's
Staying Alive. Staying Alive.
What's the one that they do? It's like.
You sound like Justin Timberlake doing the VG.
What's the ballad they do in Saturday Night Fever?
How Deep Is Your Love is one of them.
What's the one where it's like that they dance to?
More than a woman.
More than a woman to me. Yeah, I like that one too.
Nice. All right, Justin, you go.
Justin, do a song.
I don't know.
Sing it.
Dance Monkey.
Pockle Bell's Cannon. You start high and we'll go low.
Have you seen the bits about how Pocket Bell Cannons and everything, like several different comedians do, especially musically oriented comedians, you know, to kind of demonstrate how that theme is in
everything. The, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought that Taco Bell's Cannon when I first heard the...
You did not.
I thought that's what the person said. Taco Bell's Cannon.
Taco Bell's Cannon.
Yeah.
Okay, Taco Bell's cannon can shoot into my mouth any day at once because I love Taco Bell.
Hot sauce or fire?
Fire sauce, fire, for sure. Yeah. Every day. It's not very hot, but it is tasty. This is the 10,000 Places podcast, where we look for God in 10,000 places. Where will we go? What will we find? Hopefully Jesus. Dude, Crunchwrap Supreme, Triple Crunchwrap. They need to bring that back now.
Speaking of J-pop,
I didn't know we were.
I just watched a show called Jay Mello, but there's a guy on who's a really popular singer-songwriter in J-pop. He's been around since the 90s.
Wait, is J-pop
2001.
Japanese pop?
Japanese
okay.
pop.
Is that okay?
But influenced by Western pop music, especially in the 1980s. But he said his formula is he starts with a chord progression or a melody that he knows Japanese people like. And the host said, like, what do you mean? He said, Pockle Bell's Cannon. Mm. Pockle Bell's Cannon, that chord progression, that's behind like all the most popular J-pop. Mm-hmm.
It's the four chord.
Axis of Awesome.
Did
apparently it's Japanese as well. It's not just Western music. Yeah. We're talking about collecting today, right?
We collect. Okay.
We didn't collect a harmony yet.
No, and we're not going to
probably because
I'm already embarrassed. Why do humans collect things?
Well, let's start with collecting our names. I'm Lewis Pearson.
I'm Justin Aquila.
I am Alex Giltner. And this is the 10,000 Places podcast, which you probably know because you pushed play for some reason I can't possibly fathom.
Looking for the collect? What is that?
Collect is to gather. Mm-hmm. Collectio. And
not to be confused with Coleco. Does anyone remember Coleco? It was Atari's main competitor. I'm the oldest one at this table, so
you are, and I do remember Atari, and I played Atari.
No one remembers Coleco. Mm-hmm. Right, shout out on email if you remember Coleco.
So maybe like
I brought to the table something that is not visible on.
What do you collect?
Well, I brought this. What is the name of this thing? It's a shield from The Legend of Zelda. But Alex, you're a bigger Link fan. I don't know which shield is this.
That's the Hyrule shield.
This is life size.
Yeah, that would be the size of the actual Hyrule shield. The Hylian shield is what it's also called.
And I brought it
because
it's
got the crest
of
Hyrule on it, which is the Triforce with the bird around it. It's beautiful.
It is nice.
It's a toy.
It is a toy.
Based on a video game.
I told my kids, so everything I buy because it's on clearance. Mm. Not because it's a birthday or because the reasons people have for buying things.
Like needing it or having some.
I mean, I have a small army as a family. Right now, as of the taping of this podcast, 8 kids. So everything I buy is in bulk. Camping supplies, soap, just anything, right? Because I have
Hylian shields.
Hylian shields. If it's on clearance, I buy it because at some point someone's going to want it. And so I told my kids, so do I put this in my office or hang it up somewhere? Do I give it to Alex as a birthday present?
I'm a toy collector.
Do I let the kids go to our basement toy store? Because all the things I buy on clearance, since it's not our birthday yet, the kids can go down there and shop the basement toy store.
Aw, you could actually set up. So the Hylian shield is on sale at Castletown in Hyrule in Ocarina of Time.
Oh, nice.
So you can like...
I could cosplay this thing.
You could. You could totally cosplay it out.
Or I could give it to you.
You could give it to me. Now, what you were supposed to do is buy several of them because you need one to rock and one to stock, just like all the sneaker pimps say. So sneaker pimps are two things. There are two possible realities.
There's the band.
There's the band from the 90s. They're still around, I think, but they got rid of their lead singer, who was the only reason they were good. And they did
hate
the great
when that
song.
Happens.
Right.
Like David Lee Roth leaving Van Halen. Right?
You're going to go there. Yes, we've all established I'm the obnoxious lead singer that nobody can stand, but somehow makes it work.
Yeah.
I bring the magic.
You bring the magic.
Yeah. Cosmic Rough Riders was a great band until their lead singer left. Nobody knows what that. Just look up Cosmic Rough Riders. Their first album is great.
I'm afraid to look up Cosmic Rough Riders.
They were the Beach Boys in the 2000s from Scotland.
That does not alleviate any of my fears.
I think Scotland. Anyway.
Anyway, so what were we talking about?
Collections. I collect music.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. So one to rock and one to stock. One to stock and one to rock. So sneaker pimps are a band in the 90s. They're also, I don't know if this is what sneaker pimps really mean, but I think of people who collect shoes because like people collect shoes. And they collect like Jordans. There's however many Jordans, which I remember when the first Jordans came out. And I was in fifth grade, I think, and it was the coolest thing ever. That was also the year starter jackets. Remember starter jackets?
I asked my mom for the Jordans. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted the Jordans. Oh. And I wore them to soccer.
That's not the right
sport. And then when I slipped, and I realized, I thought, because we didn't have a lot of money, I thought different kinds of shoes for different kinds of things is a scam. And then I wore Jordans on the soccer field, and I realized, no, I need cleats.
So, you do. So, one to rock and one to stock is you want one to buy and put on a shelf, stock it, so you just have it. But then you can't wear that one, so you got to buy one to rock, meaning you put them on and you rock them as you walk around.
I only have
town.
The one shield here, so I...
Right, so you did it wrong is the first thing. Secondly, if I had all the money in the world, so I do collect something. So collect comes from conligo, okay?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Ligo means to bind, okay, like a ligament. Ligament ties something together. So
or
con,
Legos.
You stole
oh,
my
dang it.
Damn thunder. How could you?
That's what he's
I was
sorry,
setting that
sorry,
up.
Sorry. Like, I'm Captain Obvious.
No, you're right. No, but it's true. It's true. So, yes, con ligo means to tie with or bind with or tie together. And so collect from con ligo, collectio, is to collect, to gather things together. And one thing that I collect is Lego, which is not the Latin root, but I was going to make it sound like that for a second.
Con ligo. I thought you were going to say Three Amigos. I completely misread where you were going with that.
Well, Justin didn't.
I didn't. No.
So Lego actually comes from, it's a Dutch word that means to play well, like good play.
Yeah.
But
I want to talk about Lego, but now I'm trying to wonder which one of us is Steve Martin in the Three Amigos.
Well, I'm not Chevy Chase. I know that because he's the dumb one.
Yeah. Am I the Chevy Chase character?
Possibly.
He's Dusty Bottoms. That's
Dusty
Chevy
Bottoms.
Chase. But,
then,
but Lego, you're saying.
And Lucky Day.
Lucky Day.
Is Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. All I know is that I'm the obnoxious lead singer that brings the magic.
That may be Ned Niederlander. That's Martin Short.
He is my favorite of the three. Mm-hmm. I actually think Martin Short's comedy is... It's so good at supporting what other people are doing that people don't realize it's one of the most genius things that's actually happening in front of you right now.
I could buy Justin His Lucky Day, Steve Martin's character.
I've always identified with Steve Martin.
In any context at all?
Pretty much.
Wow. You know, we watched the first season of that Dead People in the Apartments.
Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah, that one. And the first season was fun. Mm-hmm. The second season, we didn't even get past like the second episode. We just found it to be...
We were talking about the episode, and it was supposed to be about marketing, right? Between the shows, telling Justin that my wife, Angela, figured out it was when people are trying to get you on the hook and watch the show and binge it and put the ads in, like there's no character-driven story. There's no real story. It's how do we get the person to feel like they have to keep watching? Mm-hmm. And you can't even remember what you saw because there's so many ins and outs and cliffhangers. And she had that experience watching Only Murders in the Building. I don't even know who I'm rooting for, who's the villain, who's the protagonist.
I don't think it's good. I just think it was very...
And so it's addictive.
It was pleasurable, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's like eating popcorn.
Yeah.
But it's not nourishing. You just got a bunch of empty carbs in you.
So people often make this statement about collecting. Mm. Is like, what's the point, right? Like, it's just a waste of money. You're not... So collecting can be done for many things. I am not trying to speak about every version of collecting in the entire universe. But I think it would be fair to say that when people think of a collector, they think of someone who takes things that they don't need and puts them on display or even just puts them in a room and just has it.
Yeah.
And that's all they do with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve a purpose. It's not a good strategy financially because you're just buying stuff that is not useful. It doesn't further any goals except the goal to just have it. And so why do people collect? And yet collecting, like people, like we see people like cave people were collecting, right?
Right.
Like, collecting is something humans do. Something animals even do.
Yep. It's not purely something driven by a consumeristic culture, which is the easy critique.
Right.
Although I'm sure consumers take it's more
consumerism can take great advantage of the human impetus or proclivity for collection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm seeing something about both vice and holiness here. So
I think there's a good and bad thing that collecting is doing.
I mean, what can go wrong with it? I think about the vice of avarice or greed. You can care for something inordinately too much and not enough at the same time. So for me, I collect like everything. I have a really bad avarice is one of my
collect things on clearance.
Yeah. So toys, clothes.
You collect deals in your mind, don't you? Do you remember the best deals you got?
I do. If I see a suit for $37, a 100% wool suit, but I knew I could have bought it for $32, I will not buy it for $37.
How do you ever buy suits then? You must get $32 deals all the time because you got like 70 suits.
A lot of those came from Hurricane Katrina.
What?
What the hell?
So when
hey, Katrina, got any suits?
When I lived in Texas, Houston.
Yes, I do.
No, it's El Nino that talks, not
El Nino, which is Spanish for the Nino.
For those who don't habla español. Chris Farley shout out.
It was great, man.
So Houston got flooded and all the stores still wanted
New Orleans.
Which one was Houston? Which one is Houston?
Rita.
One of the hurricanes.
Hurricane Rita. In 05.
Was it Rita?
Yeah. Katrina is in New Orleans.
When was that year?
They were both in 05.
They were both in 05.
Yeah, because all the it's a sad story.
Yeah, so a lot
Houston
of
took on the people from Katrina and then got
Rita. So then Rita came along. Yeah. Houston had
thanks,
divested.
Joel Osteen.
Right.
Hey, man. He's my boy. We'll talk about that.
we'll need to have,
a conversation. I was about to start confessing my problems with avarice anyway, talking about health and wealth. Houston had to divest all of their stock, and then I was at Baylor in Waco, Texas. And so Dillard's, big store down there, had
Dillard's. I forgot about that.
Yeah. They had this big sale, and it was all this like $500 menswear. And I remember going to the guy, and he knew me because I shopped Dillard's all the time. And the South is much more formal than the Midwest. So everyone's wearing suits. And so it's always easier to buy stuff there because it's a lot and it's cheap and it's good stuff. And there was this $495 sport coat that was $1,485. Oh. And he just kept saying, it's $1,485. I said, this $14.85. But yeah, they had these racks and racks of just $18 suits and all the rest. So it's hard not to make a pun, but hit that watermark again.
Yeah, it's true.
When I see suits.
Hurricanes leave a mark on your soul, Lewis. So I've often said you're the most materialistic Platonist I've ever met. And your wardrobe is a thing of glory and horror.
If I have a suit, I have it in blue, but I also have to have it in pink and floral print and paisley. Why? Well, just in case one day I need it, right? But this is how people are with shoes or t-shirts or whatever. And so I can care too much about the thing. I go out of my way. I spend money. I really haven't budgeted for this. And then I don't even remember I have it, right? I never put it on. And that's how it is in avarice. You can care about something too much and too little at the same time.
So you forget that you even...
It's typically a symptom. But I mean, the holiness, like there's this making sacred. There's nothing utilitarian about the Sabbath, about things that we sacrifice, that we burn, that we cannot use because we've given them to God. And it's interesting, like collection... I think there's something about that. Like we see a good thing can go both ways.
Yeah. And so there's several goods I see to collection that I think so. And you know, like when people say animals do it too. So maybe it's just an animalistic behavior. No, if we're thinking like good Catholics with our Catholic goggles on, what animals do in the animal world that we reproduce is actually us showing the rational reason for the goodness of the act because we are rational beings. That.
It's a transforming of something.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like eating is actually a rational act and there's a right way to do it. And animals do it poorly, but not because they're bad, but because they're not rational. So they stick their faces straight into their food or whatever. Mm-hmm. And all the ancients would point this out as like clearly they don't know how to eat like rational people, which is not a knock on them. It's actually a knock on people who eat like that and should know better.
Raised in a barn.
Yeah, right. And so their collecting is a part of, I think, a deeper desire. I think collecting is about order because collection is about completion, which means there's a category of something that exists that you want to complete in order to fulfill the meaning of the act itself. I'm not doing the act as a means to another act. I am doing collecting for its own sake, which is, I think, getting into this, there is no utility to it. But that's the sacrality of it. And what it's pointing towards is order.
Yeah, that's interesting. The worst thing that's happened to me with my avarice proclivities is eBay. So our generation again
oh my gosh.
Yeah, they've come along and they've rebooted everything that we had as kids, but then we can also buy all the old stuff and they're remaking all the old stuff.
Yeah.
We started watching Silverhawks lately with the kids.
Silverhawks. With my fifth birthday, I got Silverhawks.
Yeah.
And it was so, I can still in my mind see my uncle's smile at my excitement over him giving me the Silverhawks.
Angela, it was Ninja Turtles. Every time she got a good report card, they'd go to the local putt-putt place and she'd get a Ninja Turtle. But for many of us growing up before YouTube and DVRs and all those things.
DVRs?
I
think you're the only person that still uses that.
So. I don't have one.
You TiVo stuff still?
I have a VCR.
He went way further back.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, man, I remember Betamax.
So I've seen three episodes. The kids were talking to me. I went to watch another Silverhawks. I said, kid, I watched three my whole life because I wasn't home when they were on.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one in daycare, and it was the same one they replayed every time I was in daycare. And so when I had toys, I had like two toys. And the kids who had all of them, but like today, I'm an adult and they've rebooted everything and I can have all this stuff now. And there's something about, I worry, I don't want to start any new show, any new hobby because I have to have all of them. That completion thing is there.
Yeah. So I eventually would like to have every Star Wars set for Lego. Will I ever complete that?
Yeah. You don't have $1 million.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
It's super expensive. Even though, man, you probably don't know, there's a deal hunter in me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten sets for prices that like you can barely believe. Because I'm out there hustling when it comes to Lego. And I'll tell you why. Is it because I'm brilliant? No. Is it because I'm, you know, like savvy or clever? No. It's because my wife only gives me a certain amount of money to buy these sets. And so I gotta be making it.
You gotta be frugal.
That's right. So I'm out there, I'm shucking, I'm jiving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm making like offers at people that, you know, that, no, why would I give it to you for that much? Because I said please.
Because no sale.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't have more
money. And I will say, like, don't get into Lego because it's an extremely expensive hobby. Lego is very expensive because it's the Mercedes of toy. Mm-hmm. But why? Like, if I had every Star Wars set, I would not be able to fit that in my house. Mm.
If you actually set them all up and stuff.
I mean, even if they even would in the take boxes? Up my entire storage room. I mean, I don't know how many sets there are. I have a spreadsheet somewhere. And I'm focusing on certain ones. So I'm trying to get all the prequel mm-hmm. and the Clone Wars and the Rebels mm-hmm. sets are like my main focus. I get other sets too, but I mostly focus on those. And I'm making some mocks. Like I'm going to do a diorama of the Second Battle of Fallujah. Mm. Listener, not Fallujah, which is a real place.
That's where I went.
Yeah, but Felucia, which is a planet in Star Wars, and it happens to be the unfortunate place of Aayla Secura's death when the clones turned Order 66.
It's a colorful, trippy-looking planet.
It is, and it's going to be really difficult and fun to make. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost thousands of dollars. Because don't you even... Okay.
No, you're right. It's just
Lego's expensive, man.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. All I brought was this little dinky shield. I'm sorry about that.
You could have done better. You know my birthday is coming up, right? Is that the best you can do?
Yeah, I guess I'll do better.
Yeah, do better.
It's not even made of Lego.
It's not.
So there's another angle to collecting.
That's what we're talking about.
That is also related to devotion.
Yeah,
so I was trying to think of the themes in my collecting.
You collect
both
books,
as a kid. I collect books,
which I do too. Yeah.
I think we all do.
We all collect. Is there books you keep that you're never going to look at again? But
exactly.
You keep? Why?
Yeah, they're bound. Bound for glory.
Yep. And there's a certain kind of there's an aspirational aspect to book buying for me. Like,
sure.
What does that
I
mean?
I really want to read this, so I'm going to get it, maybe I read it, maybe I don't. But someday I might, and that's the aspirational part. But I collected as a kid. I used to cut out pictures of my favorite baseball players. So it was I collected baseball cards. But anytime
I was gonna say, there's like a totally handy hobby. For
I know,
that.
I know. But I used to collect anytime the Yankee players appeared
newspapers or magazines
in Baseball Weekly.
Okay,
I would cut out the Yankee player and put it on my wall.
Yeah.
So I had a whole poster, newspaper clippings thing going on, slightly serial killer-ish.
You didn't have their addresses next to the picture, did
no,
you?
No.
I'm
was
collecting their souls, yeah. Mom. Their souls.
No, babe, that's newspaper.
Right. So my other one was Civil War stuff.
Civil War, like actual stuff from the Civil War?
Both. Like the best I got was a rock from Gettysburg from Little Round Top. Hmm. That's still a prized possession. My wife does not know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of impose on her. She allows me.
That's the thing. Our collection habits often don't make sense to other people.
Yes.
Even when they have their own collection habits.
Yeah,
they're very personal.
Yeah. So my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I understand the impetus to collect, but I would never want what you just said.
Yeah.
Like you're like. I
also have no interest in suits and Legos.
Well, right. Yeah. And somebody would pay thousands of dollars for your thing, and I'd be like, I don't understand.
Right.
But then I'd turn around and buy a set for $400, and you'd be like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, like when you first found out that I collected Lego, you said, you mean like that you play with?
Right.
Yes, Justin,
yeah,
but I
yeah.
do not play with them.
Right.
Have I swooshed the occasional ship around the room? I admit nothing. Am I an adult? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm David Lieberoff.
I actually had a fun image in my head of you swooshing a Lego
There's
around.
There's just something really complaining about it. I'm a completionist.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Civil War and
So like the remaining things, my wife allowed me to have one Civil War picture painting. And one baseball one. Hmm. That's
all you're allowed.
What does she collect?
Yeah.
What does she collect?
I don't know.
I don't
Kids have an instinct to collect rocks, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're in the pockets every time we do laundry.
Yes.
Yeah.
My daughter is like, and it's so fascinating to watch every kid collect rocks.
Yeah. It's a proclivity that shows itself very, very early. And, you know, it's funny because I think everybody has some way that they do it, even though I don't think it always manifests. What I think collecting is a manifestation of something deeper, mm-hmm. which is a person's search for an order that is satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is, of course, a reflection of our ultimate journey mm-hmm. to heaven, which is the final satisfaction of our desires and the perfection of our being.
So I think this explains why the very weird Catholic custom of collecting relics.
Oh, for sure.
Because there's an element of devotion, of ordering, and of it's wanting to be right close at the beginning. Everything, actually, it's not just relics, right? Like, everything about preserving the Holy Land, mm-hmm. you know, and identifying the sacred
sites. That's another
sites.
Thing collection's mm-hmm. about. It's about preservation, yeah. right? It's about possession. It's about preservation. Because possession isn't always bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we want the thing. A friend of mine passed away recently, and one of the things I'm tired of is when people say things like, well, we'll have the memories and they'll live forever. So, no, I want to walk with my brother again.
Yeah, in the body, mm-hmm. in the flesh.
The creation that God makes, I want it redeemed. I want it back. I want all of it back, not just a spirit flying away. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
Relics. Wow.
This is a part that because there's some people who don't understand. Right. We're so sacramental that mm-hmm. it is real body. We want the stuff.
Yep.
And relics, are great.
And not only there, you know, the church is an interest in collecting them to put them in altars, which goes back to the catacombs, but also there are churches that tend to collect. Lots of them.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. St. Anthony's in Pittsburgh, and there's others, right? That there's just these places where it's like people have.
We have a collection of relics at USF.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And it's Francis and Claire. Mm-hmm.
And then some odd. Yeah. Not odd, but like.
Yeah, but like we've got a Catherine of Siena. But, you know, like when. So I would love to go look at the word because in the martyrdom of Polycarp, which is, you know, this famous martyrdom from mid-second century. So we're talking a few generations. Like within Polycarp was trained by Papias, and Papias was a disciple of John, mm-hmm. the apostle. And Polycarp may have even met John the apostle. So we're talking really early. And when he dies, he's burned to death. And I don't know if it's in the Colosseum or if it's in a Colosseum, but he's burned to death. And then they immediately go out and they gather his bones, right? And they're not gathering to go bury him. Like, they're all these different church people are going mm-hmm. and taking his mm-hmm. bones and going home with them. It's relics. It's right there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We're collecting our dead.
Yeah.
And this is something like when I tell my students, so Catherine of Siena has mostly remained incorruptible, although I hear she's starting to look a little worse for the wear.
How many hundred years later?
Yeah.
Not bad.
But she's not complete in the sense that you would think of a body, by which I mean that there was a dispute whether or not Rome or Siena should get her. And they decided it would be fair if one kept her head and the other kept her body. And so you can go see them different places. Why do we do that? And I have students who look at me like in horror and somewhat like fascination too. Like I'm a true crime story like happening right in front of them. And they're like, why?
My confirmation saint, Francis Xavier, mm-hmm. his body was incorrupt for a long time, even though mm-hmm. he was buried in Lai because he died trying to get into China. And when they took him out of the Lai and they broke his neck because he was 6 feet tall and he wouldn't fit in the coffin for the journey back to India, and his body was incorrupt. And then a woman in India bit off his toe because she wanted a relic for herself and people saw it. So she had to give it back. But that, everybody was clamoring for a piece of of the saint's body.
Yeah,
there's a certain strange.
That's a collection of things.
There's a certain strange paradox here. I'm okay a lot with paradoxes. I've read my G.K. Chesterton, and there's a paradox in that the church venerates disembodied skeletons in some ways.
We have churches built out of them.
Right. At the same time, saying no, the body really has to be buried.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, and I'm actually okay with that paradox. I'm not sure how I'm okay with it, but I am.
Because it's in the instance of the thing itself. right? That's why we have principles, not laws. That's why, right. I mean, we have a church law and stuff, but these are always like up to prudencia. Like, you can't ever make a true law. Thomas Aquinas talks about this, because there's only the search for the good, and the search for the good, the seeking of the good, looks distinct based upon what is the actual integral instance in front of you. And, you know, we have to collect that thing, not just the idea, right? And so we need the actual instance. And that's why the mystery is really that everything is particular in its like fullest extent, even though we can speak in universal categories, which I'm not being nominalist. I'm actually being, in a sense, as transcendent as you can possibly be, because everything is only ever itself.
That's
hi, Chady.
Yeah.
And I think, Alex, to your point about the ultimate collection will be done at the end of time. Mm-hmm. Right, Christ will collect all that is scattered.
Yeah.
So there's an ultimate ordering.
Right. So two things. And I know we got to wrap up, but two things. And I think that some people are going to understand how this fits collection and some people aren't. And I'm good with that, because I think it's something you need to meditate on. And I don't think I'm greater than anyone, but I would meditate on this. One of the first Eucharistic prayers we have is, I think it's in the Didache. And the prayer is it's a gathering prayer for the Eucharist, and it's as grain is gathered and brought together to make bread, so gather your church together in this act of receiving the Eucharist, right? We're collected, we're gathered. The other is a story that one of my mentors told me. He's actually been through a lot. He's got some wild stories. It's really cool. One of the stories he told me was, there was this old nun he knew when he was doing his
nun he knew.
And we're back. There was a nun that he was acquainted with.
Ninny nonny. No, I don't.
Oh my gosh. And now I'm just hearing Robin Williams going, nanu, nanu. Okay, so nice you say knee. This woman was this kind of like, and she's like, you know, your archetypal, like, cranky old lady that you love, like kind of like the waitress of the diner or something, who's like always like scolding you, but it's you feel loved by it, you know? And so apparently, and he would go and he would visit with her while he was in grad school. And this was when he was in grad school in the 70s, I think. So anyway, so he tells the story, because he says, I didn't believe in incorruptibles. And then he received word sometime after he graduated that she died. And so he went to go pay his respects. And he got there, and he got to the, I don't know if it was a morgue or a church, but he said, you know, where she, and they said that she's down in the basement. And they're like, now you're not going to recognize her. And he's like, no, it's fine. I don't care. And they're like, no, you need to understand. He's like, I don't care. Like, however she died, like, I don't. And they're like, no. Okay. And so they take him down, and they brought her in, and they pulled back the sheet, and it was a vivacious, glowing 18-year-old woman. And he said, you know, that's not her. And they're like, well, it is.
Wow.
And he's like, and when he told me the story, he's like, I couldn't explain it. Like, I knew that these people, like, I know these people, they're not lying. And what these are not people who would go find a dead body of an 18-year-old to play a trick that no one's going to remember or care about. Right. There's no. And so he's like, so, yeah. And then when he looked at her, he realized it was her. It looked like her, but she was not the old woman.
Wow.
And I think that that is God preserving us in our fullness. And that's what collection is a shadow of.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think if you look at tradition, stories like that in scripture, it's all over the place. I mean, one thing I would personally leave it with is, Christ tells us to be collectors in the parable of the sheep.
That's right.
99 is not enough. You got to get that 100th.
And when that one goes, you will leave the 99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell you, there is more. So I really think that this is a biblical like command. It's a biblical statement that I do need to collect all of those Star Wars things. And so I'll be taking this back to my wife so that we can meditate on this together and figure out how we're going to go ahead and complete this biblical mandate.
Yeah. It's nice. Spiritual direction, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like, so, like, you know, as the head of this household, I really feel like God is leading us to collect all the Star Wars sets from Lego.
The Pope of this domestic church.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, and I think that's what Paul had in mind when he laid out these household, like, structures.
So, all right.
If somebody wanted to tell us about what they collect,
yes,
or to make fun of our own collecting habits, or scold me in my obnoxious statements about my spiritual headship of my household, where would they go, Justin?
They could email us at 10,000 Places Podcast, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
Very nice. And for those who collect episodes, this would be,
One of them.
Yeah. Go forth and collect. I'm Alex Giltner.
And I'm Justin Aquila.
I am Lewis Pearson. And this has been the 10,000 Places Podcast.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.